Welcome to Module 1, Video 3. This is Dr. Miles Nichols. Here we're going to chat a bit about what is mindfulness medicine. And when we're talking about mindfulness medicine, we're really talking about an evolution of functional medicine and an evolution that includes both the physiological root causes that functional medicine is well known for, of looking for gut issues and toxic burden and looking for chronic infections. We're also going to be including mind root causes. And I want to talk to you a little bit about why. Why are we including mind root causes? Why do we believe that this is incredibly important for the next phase of the evolution of functional medicine? One study is about perception of stress. And here we're seeing that the perception of stress is more important maybe than just the stress itself, or at least it's as important in many, many ways as just looking at stress, because people are going to have stress regardless. I don't know of anyone who completely avoids 100% of stress. But what I do know is that there is the possibility to shift and change the way that people relate to stress. I've done this for myself and help clients to do this all of the time. And by changing the way that people fundamentally relate to stress, the way that they perceive their stressors, that can really make a big, big difference. If you haven't already seen it, I really, really recommend watching a TED Talk called How to Make Stress Your Friend by Kelly McGonigal. You get some very interesting info in that. So this study showed that basically that 43% increase in premature death was associated with high stress that also believed that stress impacts health negatively. But individuals who perceived that stress does not impact their health negatively and had large amounts of stress still did not have an increased risk for death. So in other words, people who had a belief that stress is negative to their health and that they had high amounts of stress had a 43% increase in all-cause mortality. But those who believed that they had high amounts of health, but that stress did not impact their health in a negative way, had no increased risk of premature death. So that's where it's very, very important that there may be some things about the way that we perceive stress that are maybe not yet explained thoroughly with a mechanism for why is that happening. There are a few mechanisms, but the main point is that we see in this kind of research that's looking at many, many people and how looking at rates of death is definitely seeing clearly that the ones who perceive that stress is not negative to their health, even if they have high stress, are having much better outcomes in terms of mortality versus those who perceive that stress is negative to their health and perceive that they have high stress. So high stress is less of a problem if the way that a person relates to that stress is from a frame of believing that that stress is an opportunity for them to grow and clarify what's important to them. So what I recommend is that you, for yourself personally, see about how are you relating to stress, really contemplate that, meditate on that, journal about that. How do you relate to stressors in your life? Do you get upset about them? Are they a big deal? Do you complain to others about them? Or are you really focused on seeing how you can make the most of the stressors and seeing them as opportunities for learning and growing and evolving and becoming clear about what you want to do with your life and what's important to you and how to prioritize those things that are important to you? So I recommend that you think about that for yourself and that also you think about that in your client or patient population as well. In our client population, we did a Shungjen pilot study. Shungjen's a style of meditation, both moving and non-moving. And this pilot study was very, very small. It was only 3 individuals, so we can't draw big conclusions. But with these 3 participants, we did see some pretty incredible impacts. Basically, we did a 12-hour weekend training, 6 hours Saturday, 6 hours Sunday. We did lots of movements and meditation practice during that time with some teaching about philosophy and contemplations. We had a fatigue questionnaire before and after that 12-hour intensive, and we did a blood test for cortisol and DHEA before and after, and we did a dried urine test for cortisol and DHEA before and after. Here's the before study on one of the participants, dried urine test for adrenal hormones. And we see that the urine DHEA was 32. That's kind of low. I'd like to see it in the upper half of the range. And then we see the metabolized cortisol at 5,522 is above range. I'd like to see that drop down. Now, this was a person with self-reported fatigue, so we can see that the free cortisol portion was only 84, which may contribute to that feeling of fatigue, and that free cortisol portion could actually come up. So what we'd like to see is DHEA come up, metabolized cortisol go down, and we'd like to see free cortisol come up in this individual, and that would be a clinical win. Here's after the study. Remember, this study was just 2 days, Saturday, Sunday. We did a Friday measurement and now a Monday measurement. So this was on Friday and then after study Monday. Look at that DHEA change from 32 before to 87 after. 32 to 87. That's a massive change in DHEA level, and that was only with 2 days of practice, 12 hours over those 2 days. Total metabolized cortisol in 5,522 down after study to 4,248. It made its way into range. That's a significant reduction and brings it into the reference range, which is fantastic for metabolized cortisol. Now, these were no supplements that were given, and people had to not be taking DHEA. They had to not be taking other supplements like steroids or medications like steroids that would impact these levels. Then we had free cortisol before the study at 84.2, after the study 144. That's a massive increase. This person felt energy for the first time in a long, long time. And let's look at that curve too. So on waking, it was about the same, but morning levels before were pretty low. And then after, we're in the high end of the range. Afternoon levels dropped below range before and came nicely into range after. Nighttime levels stayed about the same. So really that morning and those afternoon levels are what changed, which is when we were doing the practice. But this, of course, was the day after we had done the practice. So it really changed that daytime free cortisol amount. So really, mindfulness medicine, we're doing functional medicine for both the body and the mind. We're looking at root causes, body root causes and mind root causes. It's really, really important that we understand that meditation practices and mindfulness practices have significant clinical outcomes, and that the perception of stress and the way that people relate to stress can be significant in terms of clinical outcomes and health outcomes in the long run. So thank you so much for watching this video. I hope this really helps you to understand mindfulness medicine and why we're really looking to take an evolution on what functional medicine means and how we practice it. So as clinicians, it's very important to take this to heart. And in the next video, we're going to go over the body root causes, the main categories of body root causes that are the ones that we see at the root of so many disease processes, especially chronic diseases. Thank you for watching.